Well, good evening. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Cal Grunwald, and Cal does help Radio Liberty bring you these programs. We're going to be talking about, well, what's really happening financially in our country today. Those of you who heard the president's speech heard him talking about the fact that by the year 2030, 60% of the entire expenditure of the American government, the federal government, will be on Social Security and health care. And that's really true. I mean, there is no way in the world that our country can continue to support, once the baby boomers retire and begin drawing their Social Security and Medicare, the Social Security and Medicare system that we have. And there is no solution to this unless, well, my recommendation has always been that if we raise the age of retirement to about 80 and at least 75 before you get your Medicare, maybe we could prolong this for some time. But all of these wonderful socialist schemes by which the government provides for the people fail. And especially here in the United States, when the money that has been put into the Social Security Fund, instead of being saved and really being put into a fund or investments that would draw income and be productive and contribute to our economy, they've all been spent on perks and, of course, on pensions for the congressmen that voted to steal the money from the Social Security Fund. Many years ago, we had a televangelist. His name was Jimmy Baker. And Jimmy Baker committed an unpardonable sin. In his ministry, he took money from one trust fund and used it for another purpose. Here in Washington, D.C., they do that all the time, and they've been stealing. Jimmy Baker didn't steal the money from the trust fund. He just used it for a different purpose. In Washington, D.C., they simply steal the money from the Social Security and the Medicare trust fund and simply spend it for the perks that can get the congressman reelected and, of course, all the benefits the congressman get. But, of course, nobody's ever suggesting we send the congressman to prison for taking money from a trust fund that is there for your retirement and the retirement of people yet to be, go onto Social Security, Medicare. The money's all gone. And when they tell you, oh, the money is there, why, it's, you know, there's an IOU from the federal government for the money they've stolen. And, of course, the government is going to have to come up with the money someplace, and, well, there's no money for it to come up from, no place for it to come up other than increasing taxes or printing more money or borrowing it from other countries. And an awful lot of other countries are getting sick and tired of lending the American government money. Well, with that as a background, I think we're in real economic problems. And, Cal, tell me what your thoughts are. Did you hear the president's speech?
No, I didn't. I was actually on the road tonight, so I didn't get to hear it. So anything you say, I'm listening. So.
All right. Well, tell us what you think about what's happening economically, because certainly, these have been rather exciting times. I know you're in the gold and silver business, and the price of gold has been going up. The price of silver has really been going up. The price of palladium and platinum are going up. And certainly this suggests that something big is going to be happening economically. The people who are working behind the scenes, who know what the future is, are manifesting a certain reliance upon getting out of the dollar and into fixed assets. Did you have that feeling?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald, and I'm going to be quiet and let him tell you what he thinks about what's going on. Okay, Cal, you go ahead and let our listeners know what your thoughts are.
There's a lot of severe things going on behind the scenes. We're course, not told any of this because the media is totally censored in this country. The reason for gold and silver climbing so fast, and in fact, gold finished at $570.80 today, and silver finished at $9.85. And if you look back to 1999, gold hit a 25-year low at $252 an ounce, and silver was at $4.35 an ounce. So they've both gone up about 115 to 120% in that period of time. And in the last three and a half years, our dollar, on the other hand, has plummeted over 50% in value. So it's a direct contrast. Yes, gold is responding to the falling dollar, but it's also responding to far, far more than that. It's worldwide economic chaos. So our economy is actually the worst in the world. It was the best, now it's the worst. We've shipped all of our jobs overseas, as we've mentioned before. And just in the headlines in the paper today, you know, Kraft Foods is laying off 8,000 workers, closing down 12 plants. And, of course, a week and a half before that, it was Ford announcing the layoff of 30,000 workers and closing down many plants. And about 2 months before that, it was General Motors laying off 35,000 workers. Now, these jobs are not Mickey Mouse jobs. They're very, very good jobs. And these jobs are the backbone of our country. And you know, when we lose the little manufacturing we have and downsize it, you know, just to stay competitive or stay afloat, we're in serious trouble.
Well, of course, you know, it's been said that America is producing jobs, a tremendous number of jobs. We're producing a great number of jobs in China and in India and in other countries, in Malaysia and in Mexico. And, of course, the president tells you we're simply producing a lot of jobs here in America. What he doesn't tell you is that these jobs are not in manufacturing. They're in healthcare. They are working in service industries. They are working for government, but they're not manufacturing jobs because there's an organized, orchestrated effort to ship our jobs overseas. It's not happening by accident. There is a plan. And, of course, they don't want the American people to know there's a plan. But the organized plan is to lower the living standards of our people. Now, if you doubt that, you really need, of course, to get hold of the Earth Charter. It's written by three of the most powerful men in the world who are far wealthier than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But they're not going to let you know that. I should say at least the Rockefellers are far, far wealthier than the others. And they have the Earth Charter to redistribute your wealth. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course the president said this evening that over the last 4 years, I think it was, that they've created something like 4 million new jobs. But the difficulty is that these are not good-paying jobs. And I know a lot of these jobs, certainly, they may have created millions of new jobs, but we've also lost millions of jobs. And this is what they do not want the American people to know, that everything that is happening is part of a plan. And while our attention is being focused on what's happening in Iraq and Iran and certainly in Afghanistan and the Middle East, we are losing our freedom. We are losing our productive capacity. We are losing the foundation of our economic system right here in the United States. And the best way to destroy a nation is to destroy it economically. So you pick up the story there, Cal.
Well, that's very true. again, this is just history repeating itself. You know, through the years, every powerful society has been destroyed from within. And of course, we have the ultimate machine doing that to us. You know, our government is very, very insidious, very, very sneaky, and the average person on the street never will figure it out until it's too late. It's like the frog in the boiling in the water on the stove. You can turn up the heat just gradually, and eventually it'll boil to death. And most people, amazing, when I talk to people on the phone, it's just such a dramatic contrast from one individual to another. One person can understand everything that's going on. Of course, they listen to a lot of alternate radio like your show, Dr. Stan, but they understand what's really happening behind the scenes, and they know what they have to do to try to get out of the way and prepare themselves. The other people are just totally brainwashed, and they believe that the government is there for our good, and they find comfort in, you know, uncle and everything else, and it's it's just an amazing contrast. Very, very seldom do you find any, you don't find people in the middle. It's either on one side or the other, and it's just really a dichotomy there.
Well, of course, our job is to try to get people to think, to challenge, and, of course, to study history, and it's not taught in our schools today. And until people understand that there is an agenda, that the people who control both of our political parties know exactly what they're doing, and their ultimate goal is to lower our living standards, at that point you can begin to understand what's going on, because if you're looking for a logical explanation, there really isn't any. Now, I don't know, did you read the speech, that the article that Robert Rubin had in the Wall Street Journal this last week? Probably
no,
wouldn't, unless
I didn't.
You read that regularly. A long, detailed, boring article, but Robert Rubin certainly is one of the smartest people around. He was formerly Secretary of the Treasury, and he actually was talking about one of the things that really struck me was the fear that people throughout the world would begin losing confidence in the American dollar. Now, why would they lose confidence in the American dollar? Because there's nothing behind it. It is simply a piece of paper with money printed with ink on it, or it may be just a bank entry. And as long as everybody believes that it has value, it has value. But it is simply not backed by much of anything. And more countries are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their dollars. And they're coming to America with those dollars, and they're buying up our corporations. And I think it was certainly Warren Buffett who recently said that foreigners now own $3 trillion more of America than we own of other countries. In other words, we're increasingly becoming a debtor nation. And they're coming in and they're buying our factories, and they're buying our industries, and they're buying up our mines. Other countries are buying up America. And as Warren Buffett pointed out, if we continue on this current trend, within another 10 years, they'll own $15 trillion of America. And at that point, that is the value of the entire American stock system. All the stocks in America were about valued at $15 trillion. At that point, we'll be a pauperized nation. People say, well, that really could never happen. The president, of course, claims we're going to cut spending. Well, this has been the biggest spending administration we have ever had. And certainly the one before that was Ronald Reagan. Everybody thought he was actually, against big government. Ronald Reagan increased the federal debt from $1 trillion to $2.7 trillion. It took 200 years to go from up to $1 trillion in debt. We got there under Jimmy Carter. Ronald Reagan got into office because he said, we can't have this massive debt. Look what a terrible job Jimmy Carter's done. He increased the federal debt $200 billion in 4 years. So elect me president. We elected Ronald Reagan. He increased the federal deficit $200 billion every year. And over the 8 years he was there, we went from $1 trillion national debt the $2.7 trillion national debt. But the American people don't understand that. George Bush has been twice as bad. So we've got a real problem, and nothing I see that I heard tonight makes me think we're going to cut spending one iota. They always talk against increased spending, and then they spend more money. What impact will that have on our economy, Cal?
Well, naturally, I mean, if you keep you can spend yourself into oblivion, and pretty soon you'll be in the street, and that's what As we've talked about before, 60% of the mortgages in this country are interest only. So people aren't even paying a dime on the principal; they're just simply living there just because they want to live in a house. So it's just all backwards. I grew up with the teaching from my parents that if you don't have it, you don't buy it. And so I've always been very careful and conservative. And it's amazing how many people I run into on the phone. Your listeners that have the same mindset. So I would say it's a remnant, across the country that have good fiscal knowledge and good fiscal practices. And so those people are going to be the ones that are stable, in the time when our currency collapses. So it's a matter of self-preservation here. And of course, that's what a lot of my material is about. You were mentioning that there's nothing backing our dollar. One of the articles in my information package is an article on the Fort Knox gold. It's not there anymore. Johnson, during his administration, was conned into selling it. because our dollar was was losing so much value during his administration, because he was overspending for the Vietnam War and the entitlement programs and everything else, that the foreign governments kind of coerced him into selling our gold reserves, you know, to the European nations. And they started in the London Exchange, and they said after the war, then when things settle down, your dollar gets stronger, then we'll sell your gold back. Well, the dollar never gets stronger. They never sold our gold back, so there is nothing, and there's nothing backing our dollar. That's one of the articles in my information package that I'll be glad to send to people. And also, I'm adding a couple articles just for information that we talked about several months ago. One is, they're both articles out of the USA Today, November 15th. The title is As Social Security Surges, which is what you were talking about a little while ago. And as Medicare takes off, the deficit will soar, and the result is a fiscal hurricane. And there's six, you know, renowned economists that they're quoted as saying some pretty scary things about our economy. The other article is talking about the fundamentally broken pension system is in crying need of a fix, and how a lot of these bigger companies are not putting the money into the pension plans. As you said, they're squandering the Social Security, you know, money. It's just a funnel. There is no fund there, and a lot of these pension funds are the same way. And people have been, you know, when I retire, I'm going to have this pension, or it's going to be all comfortable. Well, most pension funds are void. You know, they're down 50 to 70% of what's supposed to be in there, and that's what you can't call that embezzlement. It's just incompetence and putting out, robbery.
Well, I think it's very interesting that IBM, International Business Machine, really is making a great deal of money, but they've announced that they're no longer going to have the same sort of defined benefit program they've had in the past. They're going to be a defined contribution. They'll put in money, but, you know, the people are going to have to put in money. They're going to turn them over to 401k instead of these pension funds that have guaranteed you so much a month, you know, as long as you live when you retire. And because by doing this, IBM and many of the other major corporations are just going to change the entire structure of our pension funds. Why? Well, because they want to be more competitive in the world market. Because they're not putting the money into the pension funds, they'll have more in the way of benefits, more for investment. And so I think we're going to see a total transformation of many of the pension funds in America. Now, many of the people, certainly have a pension fund that's funded, but an awful lot of them are not funded. And, of course, those that are funded dependent upon the value of the stock market. But what happens if the stock market, as some people fear, drops, you know, from 11,000 where it is today down to 7,000, 6,000, 5,000? Richard Russell, who's certainly one of the best observers, and I know you probably know who he is, Cal. He's been around for a long time, long as I can remember, and that's a long time. He says he sees the day when the price of gold will actually cross with the stock market. He made that prediction in 1980, and that's exactly what happened. And he says it's going to happen again. And that would mean he expects that gold will go up to 4,000. And, of course, the stock market will fall to 4,000. If it does, all these pension funds that are heavily invested in stocks are simply going to become worthless. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I get kind of excited when I hear that, because, you know, without me saying it, it's somebody else, somebody notable. And I've been telling people, I said, look, if you want to turn around what's happening to your investments, you know, the dollar has lost over 50% of its value. The Fed is determined to drop it another 20-30%. The only way to turn it around, they said, look at what gold and silver are doing. They're responding dramatically to that occurrence. And not only in this country, but the rest of the world is seeing what's going on, and they're responding by buying gold and silver. That's why they're climbing. The bankers are trying to keep the lid on, but they're not being very successful.
All right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we're going to be back here in just a moment with Cal Grunwald, and we're going to invite your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. All right, well, Cal, why don't you go ahead and pick up the story?
Well, I was going to say that as I've been watching this trend in the last, well, the last two and a half months, gold has gone from $492 to $570. And that's probably the most dramatic rise in gold in the last 25 years, since 1980, when it went from $325 to $850 in just 4 months' time. That is the most dramatic rise in a short period of time gold is taken. And it's because the rest of the world, you know, China and India, are buying 80% of the gold that comes out of the ground. Worldwide production of gold, as we mentioned before, is the lowest it's been since 1931. There's that many more people today than there were in 1980 when the last rise was. And so it's all contributing. And furthermore, back in 1980, we had a strong dollar. Now our dollar is the weakest it's ever been, and it's going down. So basically, European countries, third world countries, have already rejected our dollar. When we buy their goods, they're demanding that we turn dollars into euros and pay them. They either want euros in payment, or they want gold. And of course, you'll never read any of this in the media, because they don't want to, you know, obviously they don't want to tell you. But my concern right now, and I've already started to see it, because one of my suppliers has some, you know, a certain coin you can't even get anymore. They're in such demand right now. My concern is that we're going to reach critical mass relatively soon. In other words, my supplier the other day said something interesting. One of my main suppliers a couple weeks ago said, you know, the rest of the world is buying gold. You know, you've got the Asian countries, India, Pakistan. I mean, these China opened its doors 3 years ago after 100 years of closing them to buying gold, so their citizens can buy gold now. That's why gold is climbing. But Americans are still asleep, he said. When they awake and they start buying gold, the supply of gold is going to be gone in a matter of 2-3 weeks. And then you won't be able to buy any gold for any amount of money. So people are going to be sitting there at that point. They've been sitting on the fence all this time, and I've talked to a lot of them. Well, I think I'll wait, and I really don't know, and I'm going to get hit by, you know, if I take my IRA out, or if I do this, then I have to pay more taxes, and they're scared about this another 15-20% tax bracket. Well, your money's being eaten alive by inflation and the falling dollar, and they're sitting there intimidated by the tax system, which is what it was designed to do, intimidate people. You know, and it keeps people in fear, and so they don't want to move any money. But when they do want to move it, you know, once Americans start buying, and I've heard the statistic, and I know you have too, Dr. Stan, that there's so much money in our stock market that even if 0.5% of that money in the stock market were to be put into gold, the gold supply would dry up immediately, because this country is so wealthy. But again, as you've already said, you know, the very, very, you know, big people, Warren Buffett, Gates, Soros, they've been buying gold and silver all along, very, very quietly. The big brokerage houses, they've been buying gold. The big, you know, the Federal Reserve people, they've been buying gold. Of course, they do it all very, very quietly, but they're scooping it up. And this is just the beginning. I tell people this is just the beginning of the run on gold. At 570, this is just the beginning. I talked to a gold analyst. One gold analyst said he's looking at $734 gold by the end of the year, but if it keeps going like this, we're going to have it by June.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Cal Grunwald, and let's go to Ray, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. I had a question, but I first wanted to say that I worked at Hewlett Packard back in the 1970s and 1980s in semiconductors. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, they started to ship out their manufacturing overseas as far as back as, you know, the late 1970s. But then they increasingly did it more and more and more until by about 1989, when I left HP, there were no longer hardly any manufacturing jobs at all.
No, because really, in fact, not only their manufacturing is going overseas, but their support is going overseas.
Yeah, they're calling and everything.
And if you have a Hewlett Packard printer, as I do, and you call for support, you get some fellow named Raj, who's over in New Delhi.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I also blame Bill Clinton and NAFTA. You know, I really think that a lot of what happened, you know, with the trade imbalance and everything and that kind of thing, I think it really set the groundwork for all this stuff that's going on, you know, with the.
Well, of course, this is all part of the program of globalization. Globalization, just substitute the word transferring America's wealth to other countries, and then you understand what globalization is really all about. And do you have a thought at all for... do you have a question for our guest?
I know Social Security is not in very good shape right now.
Well, if you listen to the president's speech this evening, you'll know that he said by the year 2030... 60% of all federal expenditures will be going for Social Security and Medicare. What does that suggest to you? Mm-hmm. Why, we're going to have to close down the government or close down the military, that's for sure.
Well, it doesn't look like they're going to close down anything in the military. It looks like they're going to keep on staying in Iraq forever. I think they're stalling. I think they'll be in Iraq for a long, long time. I don't think they have any plans of getting out.
Well, do you have a question for our guest tonight?
Where do you think, as it relates to Iraq, how much more money can we actually put into that war? I mean,
all right, Cal, what do you think? Of course, Ray wants to know how much more we're going to put into the in over there. We put in about $300 billion so far.
Well, sure, and that war is bankrupting our country.
Yeah, it is.
So that's what it's doing. So, you know, and of course, it's just nothing but an oil grab, so George and the big boys are in there for their own gain.
Mm.
Well, I think, Ray, that what you're seeing is a very, very tragic situation. They say we're going to stay there until we win. Well, you know, what are we going to win when we stay there? The longer we stay, the more violence is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have a situation where if we stay, there's going to be violence. If we pull out, there's going to be
violence.
And so we're asking the wrong question.
Yeah,
the question is not, should we stay or should we pull out, but why are we really there?
Why
are we funding Pakistan that is training Islamic terrorists, that has 20,000 madras schools that are indoctrinating Muslim boys in this radical form of Islam, this terrible form of Islam, we're funding that Pakistan is doing that. They have 55 training camps, terrorist training camps, and 20,000 madras schools. Why are we funding them? Mm-hmm. That just doesn't make any sense unless maybe nothing is as it appears to be.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
That's about all I have to say. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Certainly, this war is going to have tremendous economic impact on our country, isn't it, Cal?
Oh, yes, it is, and it will, too. And, again, the war is never going to end. It could go on for another 200 years because, you know, Muslims, there's 1.5 billion Muslims in the world, and we're not that many. And, you know, they just intensely hate us, in fact, in a lot of foreign countries in India. In fact, there's a bounty in George Bush's head. They say he's the world's number one terrorist, which is very true.
And, you know, the thing is that I'm sure that the Russians, communists, and the Chinese communists would be happy to fight to the last American soldier in Iraq. And, of course, now it appears that we're going into Iran, and President Bush says we want to support democracy there, having forgotten that in 1953, we overthrew the democratically elected government of Premier Mossadegh, and we installed the Shah as a dictator. Then we overthrew the Shah in 1979 and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And, of course, now we're going to go and certainly get rid of the government that we put in power in Iran. People have forgotten that in 1979 we deposed the Shah of Iran. Our CIA was working with the Ayatollah Khomeini to bring it to power. Why would you do something that stupid? Unintentionally. We're going to be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty, 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and we've got Ed calling from Idaho. Ed, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. What are your recommendations for what purchases to make as far as gold bullion versus numismatics, or the numismatics, ungraded coins or graded coins, and on the silver side of it, bullion or Morgans, or what's your take on this?
Well, again, my recommendation is always stayed the same. I recommend what's called 90% of junk silver, which are the dimes, quarters, and half dollars that were minted prior to 1965 for barter situations, because down the road you're going to need something small that's easily used, and even to buy a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs. And it's very practical to use the 90% dimes, quarters, and halves for that. And I normally don't recommend silver dollars, simply because they're too expensive per ounce, and they're over 3/4 of an ounce of silver. So when silver gets to $50-$75 an ounce, which it easily will, it's just too big of a denomination as far as money is concerned. So smaller coins, I recommend usually a bag of silver, just 55 pounds of silver coins. That'll take you 2-3 years to go through that in barter situations. So that's what I recommend, and that's what I sell a lot of, is silver. Now, silver, contrary to a lot of what these companies are saying, silver is not in shortage, but gold is. And so I would encourage people to, of course, buy silver now, but because it's going up so fast. But, the gold is the thing to get right now. And gold is there basically to preserve your wealth. I do recommend... Sometimes, 1/10 ounce American Eagles or Maple Leafs, because they're small, but what's happening now is you can't even get them. The premium on those is comparable to a low grade, semi-numismatic $10 or $20 Liberty. And, those $10 or $20 Liberties have a tremendous upside potential, as opposed to the rare coins. Now, the rare coins have another, like the MS-65, 66, 67s, those are just a huge ripoff. And I talk about them in my paper called Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. 26 pages. I'm more than glad to send it to anybody who wants it. I don't recommend those at any time. They cost you 5, 6, 7 times.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald. Cal, would you like to get your telephone number and your website out? And Ed, I'll have Cal go ahead and answer the rest of your question. But, Cal, why don't you get your website out, or at least how people can get in touch with you? And yes, certainly, if they do get in touch with you, what they'll get in this packet that you're offering.
Right. My number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. People will be shocked to know that I bought a computer for the first time in my life 2 weeks ago. It's an HP, by the way. Nice computer.
Yeah, they did. Good products, I'll say.
But I do have a website now. I've never had one of those before either, but I'm kind of growing fast. My youngest boy, Isaiah, is joining me in the business. He's 20 years old, so he'll be... I'll be answering the phone sometimes, too. But my website is www.goldandsilverexchange.info. That's goldandsilverexchange.info. Right now, if you go on the web, you're going to see just a construction page with the name of the company and my phone number and name. So within 2-3 weeks, that'll be up and running, and there'll be a lot of very interesting information on it. And people can order my paper there, and of course it's free of charge. In this paper that I, this 26 page paper that I've written, and by the way, I'm ready to revise it now. I'll probably add another 5, 6, 7 pages to it. It'll end up to be 32, 33 pages. There's been so much that's happened since I wrote it. It's kind of like timeless material, though. It doesn't, it's not really dated in the sense of, it's just good, solid educational information about, coin companies, what their, you know, scams are, what to watch out for, how to test the coin company, you know, to determine its motives, you know, what coins are not good to buy, what coins are good to buy, where to store your gold, where not to store your gold. Everything is in that paper. So that's part of the information package. There's another article called the Emergency Banking Order, which is a three-page document. It was drafted in 1961. It pretty much tells that the banks can close their doors and the government says close your doors. In any kind of a situation involving national security, a terrorist attack, war, pretty much any excuse they want. And of course the government's always three steps ahead of us. They'll just shut the doors and we're all stuck. Whatever is behind those doors is going to stay behind those doors, and whatever is behind your doors, you have. That's why I encourage people to, you know, to get out of institutions now and have your wealth in your own control and in a tangible form. It's real money like gold and silver. There's another article, as I mentioned before, about the Fort Knox gold is not there. Some very interesting articles from the 1933 New York Times when Roosevelt confiscated gold. And he declared a two-day banking holiday and instituted 14 new banking regulations. The second one on the list was open safety deposit boxes. So they'll do it again. You can never trust a banker. And then I'm adding some additional information, these two articles on the fiscal hurricane, when Social Security surges and the deficit, will take off, and then the pensions, how pension funds, a lot of them, they're void of any kind of money. There's one other document here, too. I have time to tell a small story. One of the people who heard me on the radio called in several months ago and told me how she's been scammed by this huge gold coin company in the country. I'm not going to mention names, obviously, but she got talked into buying an MS-67, St. Gaudens 1908 and old model that cost her about $7,500. But when she went to, and they promised her, if she held it for a year, that, it wouldn't lose any value. And then, so was it four years later, she said, I think I need some money now, so I'm going to try to sell it. It was down to less than half of what she paid for. That's what they were going to give her. And then, of course, this other document that I will send out, it's a page of 11.5 by 17 legal paper of fine print. This company pretty much says it right there in the fine print how they're going to scam you, and if you don't read the fine print, you will get scammed.
Okay.
I'm going to send that in the packages too. Anybody wants it? It's some new information, but it's pretty powerful, and it's amazing that they just admit. Because you have to read between the lines. They said their markup is 30%. And then they said in some instances with rare coins, it may be more than 30%. Well, this lady found out it was 54%. Then they say their brokers are not financial analysts, or they don't make recommendations, which they do make recommendations. And they also can receive undisclosed compensation for certain coins, in other words, kickbacks for promoting certain coins. They sound like stockbrokers, and this is, I'm shocked that they printed this stuff and they sent it out. And then their refund policy, of course, is, you have 7 days, they don't tell you this on the phone. And then they send you this, disclosure statement. They see you on your first transaction, you can get a refund in 7 days. That you have to pay the difference between the ask and ask price, whatever that is, a bunch of rhetoric, sleight of hand. And then every transaction after that, you are bound, once you say yes on the phone, and a taped confirmation that you say yes, I'm going to buy these coins, you are bound to buy them, and there's no chance of cancellation whatsoever. And they just got you.
All right.
Right by the throat.
Well, I think
it's all right there.
It's a dangerous situation, and I think people have to be very, very careful. Now, Ed was calling from Idaho and asking what to buy. Do you suggest people get the bullion coins? You mentioned, of course, that the quarter and tenth ounce gold coins that are minted by our government are good, possibly. What about simply the U.S. Mint Eagles. Are they a good buy? What about the things like Cougar Wrens and things of that sort?
These are coins that are called bullion. You know, bullion is not only bars, blocks, ingots, but it's also coins. And just what every major country in the world has their coin of the realm. And ours is the American Eagle. Canada has the Maple Leaf. South Africa has the Cougar Wrens. Austria has the Philharmonic. China has the Panda. Mexico has the Anza, and so forth. Now, these coins, you know, they're relatively inexpensive. You probably pay $30-$40 over spot for them, but they are all considered bullion, and the confiscatable value is $50 an ounce, and that's what's stamped on the American Eagle and the Canadian Maple Leaf is $50 face value. And people ask why is it $50 when I paid? Probably, if you were to buy a bullion coin right now, 1 ounce American Eagle would probably cost you $600, you know, and spot is around $570, but it's got a $50 face value. Now, just if you were to buy a 1 ounce platinum coin, and platinum's over $1,000 an ounce right now, it has a $100 face value. You can, and if you buy a 1 ounce silver eagle, it has a $1 face value. And the reason that the face values are determined that way is because that's what the government will pay you in paper money if they confiscate it from you. So,
but of course, there's no
risky.
There's no evidence that they are going to confiscate. If they tried to confiscate the gold coins from the American people, I think there'd be a tremendous outcry, don't you?
Well, yes. I mean, the mindset in this country is totally different than it was in 33. 33, it was kind of the age of innocence. You know, people just kind of did what the government said because they didn't, you know, the government wasn't that bad back then. But with age, of course, you know, corruption and wickedness multiply, and that's what our situation is today. But the you know, I also generally recommend the old $10 and $20 liberties. That's the old coins minted prior to 34 in the low grades, like very fine, extra fine, because the premium is pretty close to spot. And these coins, just as recently as 1999, were selling for, because of the demand, in a supply and demand situation, these coins appreciate tremendously in value. So people are looking for upside potential and want to make a dollar, which I've, by the way, never recommended that you do sell these coins. But if you want to, these coins were selling for twice the price of a 1 ounce bullion coin. So it's, you know, and that's some of these coins that are already, you can't get. One of my suppliers is totally out of $10 liberties. So it's already happening. And as, again, my concern is that we're going to reach critical mass here very soon, and all the gold that's available is going to be gone, and, you know, then the price is going to skyrocket, and no one's going to be able to buy it at any price. It'll be like just a stampede. So,
all right, Ed, do you have any other questions?
Yes, you mentioned the $20 libs and fine and extra fine grade.
Yes.
Were slightly over spot. What are you calling slightly over spot?
Well, it's a percentage. It's about 15-20% over spot, and you'll pay. If you bought an MS-64-65, same coin, $20 Liberty, it's about 10 or 11 times spot.
Oh. Uh-huh.
So it's so dramatic. And I always use the illustration, well, Dr. Stan mentioned, you know, the Dow and gold will probably cross. So when gold gets to $4,000 an ounce, say for instance you paid $5,000 for a $20, you know, Liberty MS-65 or 66, which is an accurate price today, because those coins are selling for that. So say for instance you paid, you know, $700 or $800. Just throw out a number, $700 or $800 for a $20 Liberty today, in the extra fine or almost uncirculated, you know, condition. So say for instance the currency collapses, gold hits $4,000 an ounce. So say for instance you bought, you know, with your $5,000, one person bought a one coin, an MS-65 or 66, and another person had $5,000, and he bought, say, seven of these coins with that same amount of money. Say $700 would be a round figure. So at that point, the man that had one coin in his hand, 1 ounce of gold, he lost $1,000 because he paid $5,000, and the gold in that coin is worth $4,000. The collector value at that point, when the dollar collapses, will evaporate. The man who bought the $720 liberties and gold is $4,000 an ounce, how much value does he have in his hand? $28,000, simple math. or what would you rather have? And again, that's what these coin companies, that's what it says in this disclosure statement right here that I'll give people if they want it, is that they come right out to say, you know, you've got to hang on to your coins, your rare coins, 3 to 5 years, preferably 5 to 10 years, to break even. But with the low grade, you can get the same privacy, and in a matter of spot gold going up 10, 15, 20% at the most, you're already in the black making money.
Okay, and does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, anything else you'd like to ask?
Well, just one more thing, if I may. The radio programs that you're describing, they talk about non-confiscatable coins. They're taking people's homes. They'll take people's homes. They'll take everything you have.
You're absolutely right, and we never know what they're going to confiscate. What we need to do is get people to understand that you cannot trust government. That's what our founding fathers said. That's why they wanted, of course, the function of government to be limited. The federal government was to be limited. Our only currency is to be based upon gold and silver so that nobody could come along and destroy the value of people's life savings simply by printing paper money. How far we've gone from what our founding fathers anticipated and wanted to where we are today.
The price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Amen to that. And the price that good men pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they are truly ruled by evil men. Thanks so much, Ed.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Cal, is there any shortage at all of the junk silver, 90% silver? Are they readily accessible?
Yes. They are. And, again, it's just more hype out there from companies. Right after Y2K, this whole thing started. You know, gold kind of was flat. A lot of people sold their coins back because Y2K didn't happen, and so these coin companies had to have something to say or something to sell, so they just made up this, silver's in shortage now. So they got all people all hyped up and started buying silver. But certainly as we go here, and the demand for silver increases as it is, I mean, there will be a shortage of silver, but right now there's not. There is a severe shortage of gold, but not of silver, so... That's the story.
All right, fine. I would thought that they would melt it down a lot of the junk silver. They didn't. Is it simply been stored up someplace for times like this?
Well, it's pretty much been stored, and it's in bank vaults, and a lot of speculators bought it. You know, Warren Buffett, he bought.
I'm sure he must have bought the. He wasn't buying 90%. He was probably buying gold bullion, wasn't he?
Well, I'm sure he would be buying anything that would be profitable. And of course, these bags of silver are very profitable if you can hang on to them or store them someplace. But they have a huge mountain somewhere.
And how much does a bag of silver, a junk silver, go for? Now?
That varies, of course, by daily. But it's gone from about a year ago, it was at $5,800. Now it's around $7,500.
About $7,500 for the bag.
Yeah, so it's dramatic.
And so there's really been a surge in the price of silver, and I think that this represents we're really facing some very unusual times. I've heard rumors that the Saudis, and I don't know if you've heard this rumor, that Saudi Arabia had actually purchased a great deal of silver in the London Exchange, and when they asked for its delivery recently, they were told, they could have the money, but they couldn't have the silver because they didn't have the silver. Had you heard that story?
No, but it was not surprising.
And I think, there may very well be at least some coming shortage of silver, especially if anybody really starts buying large sums. When Warren Buffett bought silver, and I think it was probably in the late 90s, yes. He drove the price up, from, $2 or $3 an ounce, up to about $7 an ounce. And, of course, it came down after his buying. But if there was any unexpected buying in the silver market, I think it could drive the price up much higher, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, now it's almost 10. It's $9.85. It's almost $10. And it's kind of like 10 is a psychology number. And people, once they see double-digit, silver, they'll probably just start buying. Again, that's, like I just reiterate, that's my biggest fear, is that Americans are going to going to wake up and say, well, I better get some real money, and they'll start buying gold and silver. You know, the money will come out of the market and the banks, which it should anyway. I tell people, look, if you're going to, you know, we have the next terrorist attack. They close assets in four different states after 9-1-1, you know, so they'll no doubt do the whole country if it's a major enough one. Or they created, of course, they created 9-1-1. So I just tell people, don't have your, you know, don't have your wealth in institutions. Have it with you. Could you convert it into food or, you know, something tangible and medical supplies, gold, silver. At least, you know, you preserve what you've got. Don't let somebody else who doesn't care about it and just is vulturing over it in a bank or stock market, don't leave it there.
Well, I think that we're entering into very, very uncertain times. And I've been watching this for, well, 43 years. I remember the great upswing in 1979. And I have as I see what's going on today, I have that feeling of deja vu all over again. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Cal Grunwald. Cal, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, well, again, it's always a pleasure to be on your show because things are unfolding rather dramatically. I would like to, again, tell people about my website because it's going to be developed and it's going to be very nice, very informative. People are going to be able to order my paper online and, you know, call me up. But it's www.goldandsilverexchange.info. And my phone number is 414-234-8267. And I'm going to be sending anybody who asks for it. Again, I like to talk to people on the phone because I used to be a high school and college English teacher. If you read my paper, you'll find that it's very educational, very low-key. It's written for the person on the street. I don't use big words. I feel as though communicating is the most important thing. And I do it in a very simple way. And this is, people call this my paper like the consumer reports of the coin industry, because there's really nothing out there. The coin industry is unregulated. It's buyer beware. And I would say 8 out of 10 coin companies out there, major ones, they have huge overheads. You know, they spend thousands of dollars on, you know, fancy advertising and radio and TV campaigns. Well, they got this huge overhead. How are they going to pay for it? Well, there's not much money in bullion or low grade gold, but there's a tremendous amount of money in rare coins. There's a tremendous amount of money in foreign gold coins that they misrepresent, calling them private non-confiscatable. A lot of scams out there, and they're out for their own good. So my paper warns about that, educates you. I'd be more than glad to spend as much time as you want to on the phone just talking about, you know, what just generally what the financial condition of this country is, what your finances will do. I'll make suggestions. People know me, I'm just kind of very laid back, and I do everything through education, and, you know, here are the facts. You kind of make up your mind. I hate high pressure. I'll never do that with anybody. And I just enjoy talking to people about about what's going on, and maybe give them some suggestions how they can preserve wealth, prepare for the days ahead, because we're going into the last days, and there's a lot more things that are very, very more, you know, a lot more severe going to happen to us that are just around the corner. So people should be aware and be ready for anything that happens. And of course, you parents out there are responsible for your family, your children's well-being, and for their good down the road. And gold and silver are just one aspect of that. Their educations and...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And Cal, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. One more time, get your telephone number and your website out there, will you?
Phone number is 414-234-8267. And my website is www.goldandsilverexchange.info.
All right, thanks very much. Good night and God bless.
Thank you, Dr.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Cal Grunwald. And, of course, we've been talking about what's happening economically to our country, which is certainly under attack today. It's under attack, though, not from the Muslims in the world, not from the wicked Osama bin Laden, but from people who would change our form of government. and our system of economics, who would transfer our jobs and our wealth to other countries. They know exactly what they're doing now. If you have not yet read the Earth Charter and would like a free copy of the Earth Charter, we'll be glad to get you one. You can get it off the Internet, but if you don't have access to the Internet, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And we'll be glad to send you free of charge a copy of the Earth Charter. Look at Part 10A, where they talk about equitable distribution of wealth within nations. What do you mean, equitable distribution of wealth within nations? That means, basically, everybody will be reduced to the same economic level, of course, except for the ruling elite, like Marie Strong and Mikhail Gorbachev and Stephen Rockefeller, who wrote the Earth Charter, and the people they represent. And then, of course, they talk about equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That means they send America's wealth to other countries, and that's exactly what globalization is all about. It's all part of a gigantic plan. Now, to really understand what is taking place, let me suggest our material on sustainable development, and we have a wonderful syllabus, we have a video on that, we have four tape sets on it. And then if you really want to understand money, we've written a little pamphlet called The History of Money. It's five of the newsletters I've written through the years explaining really where usury came from, the part that the Knights Templar played in creating the central banking system or the international banking system, the part that the Venetians and the people in Florence played in originating banking, and then, of course, the most momentous year, or most momentous occasion of all time, and that was the formation of the Bank of England in 1694. You need to understand the history of the banking system that we have today. And then, of course, there's a DVD we put together called The Coming Economic Crisis. You need to understand how we got to where we are. You need to understand what Aristotle had said about fiat money, which is what we have today. We have a fiat money system. And Aristotle had said there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. And then, of course, the writings of some of our great writers in the past who recognized the difficulty of a fiat money system was Daniel Webster, who said, "Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money. Of all the contrivances for cheating the laboring classes of mankind, none has been more effective than that which deludes them with paper money." You see, it's all basically a delusion, an illusion, until the crisis comes, and then at that point, why the people are impoverished. So remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Till we're together again, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, that's 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us this evening Richard Mankemeyer from the Survival Center, and we're going to be talking about being prepared for the very difficult times that lie ahead. Those of you who heard our program with Jerry Guidetti last night will recall she was talking about her supplier of potassium iodide had told her that they did not have any supplies, that it had all been bought up for the FBI. I talked to Jerry a little bit more this morning about it, and she said she had actually called them yesterday, and she wanted to order a case of potassium iodide. She actually provides that through her business, the ARC Institute. And when she talked with the producer, and they're actually a major producer for the military, they're a major producer for the really for anybody who buys it wholesale and retails it. And they told her they had one case left. That was all they had. The FBI, the intelligence agencies, the Office of Homeland Security had bought out their entire supply of potassium iodide within the last 2 weeks. And they had one case left, which, of course, Jerry had gotten. This suggests to me that people within the intelligence agencies and the Office of Homeland Security are expecting some sort of an unusual occurrence coming down the line, some sort of a major nuclear episode. Is this fear on their part? Do they know something that the rest of us don't know? I had an unusual experience this last week, actually talking to a gentleman. He's a professor. He is a researcher. He's probably the world's leading expert on Osama bin Laden and knows a lot more about Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda movement than our intelligence agencies do. In fact, he is a consultant to our intelligence agencies, and he had confided in me that this next week or so he's going to be giving a talk for an international group of intelligence agencies all coming together, and there are going to be a number of very, very prominent people there, and I will not mention their names, but they're people whose names you know. They're all going to be talking as well as this professor. So in the process of our conversation, scheduling for an interview we're going to be doing with him soon, I said, well, what do you think about Hamas taking over in Palestine? And this certainly doesn't foretell there's going to be peace in that area at all. In fact, it looks to me like there's going to be increasing violence. And his remark to me was rather unusual because, of course, he may have remembered when I'd had him on as a guest a year or so ago. And this is not the thing you'd ordinarily say to somebody that you didn't know was a Christian. His remark was, it's all the prophecies coming together, right, as it's foretold. And, of course, as you know, the prophecies, there's going to be a great war in the Middle East. And, of course, everything points to the fact we're going to have a war with Iran. You know, whether it'll be an American attack on Iran, whether it'll be an Israeli attack on Iran, everything is going to get, we're taking Iran before the Security Council, we're lining up support from Russia and China and Turkey and all the surrounding countries, so they will back us if we attack Iran. The President has said tonight that they're not going to leave the Ayatollahs and the radicals in power, they're going to bring democracy to Iran. And I would simply say, why do we want to bring democracy? The CIA destroyed the democracy back in 1953 when the CIA toppled up the duly elected prime minister, a man named Mossadegh, and then they put a Shah in. It was a dictator. Then we toppled the Shah in 1979 and brought the Ayatollahs to power. Why are these things happening? It's almost as if there's an invisible force behind everything going on, moving America, the Middle East, the world, into World War III. And we're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. And Richard, why don't you pick up the story there?
Well, good evening, Dr. Stan. I'm speaking to you by candlelight, solar-powered radio, and hand-crank LED flashlight tonight.
All right, fine. Well, I hope you're on a regular powered telephone.
Well, this is the one that doesn't go through the fancy systems. People need to understand when the power goes out, you know, a lot of things don't function. Our fancy, computerized phone systems offline, everything's off except for the individual little simple landline that we have just running into the local store here. So it's that's what we're talking on tonight.
All right, fine. Well, of course, Richard lives up in Washington. I understand you've had nothing but rain for about a month now.
I'll tell you, it's still raining in the Pacific Northwest. We're coming up on the 40 days and 40 nights that you've heard about before. In fact, I saw a guy down the road the other day. He's building something that looks a lot like an ark. I don't know if he knows something we don't know or not, but, you know, it's looking suspicious. And we've been having a lot of rain. We are setting records with rain. Now, it doesn't mean we all have problems with that. I mean, the land and the ground up here is made for that. But they're having a lot of problems in the mountains. Interstate 90, which is the main road, the main route over the mountains up in the north part here, it kind of parallels the Canadian border, has been shut down numerous times because of avalanches. In fact, they showed a guy the other night that was just driving down Interstate 90, and all of a sudden this fall of snow closed off 90, and he plowed into it. Luckily, he survived, but his car got beat up pretty bad. He had his seatbelts on. Mount Baker up here, which is north of us, has over 10 feet of snow. Paradise, which is on Mount Rainier, is up to over 180 inches of snow. The skiers up here love it if they can get to it, but, you know, sometimes they can't even get there to go skiing. So here we are at the Survival Center tonight. Our power had gone out because we've been having all these storms. Well, we do get high winds with some of those storms. We know we have a lot of those big, tall, evergreen trees here in the Pacific Northwest, and, you know, invariably they fall down over the power lines, and we're out in the country, as we recommend everyone do if they can, to get as far away from the masses as they can, to get out where they can be a little more self-sufficient. And, of course, our power goes off on a regular basis, so we're ready for it.
And, of course, you are at the Survival Center, so you're prepared to survive.
Oh, we are prepared. I have candles. First thing we do is light candles. Now, we have big generators and all that backup power. I don't even start them up until it gets serious. Because, you know, we kind of like the peace and quiet. You know, when everything shuts off, it really gets very pleasant. As you know, through a hectic day at the office or the radio station or wherever you are, it gets pretty hectic around here, too. We're talking to people literally from all over the world trying to help them get prepared. And it was kind of nice. So
hold that thought there for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Richard Mankemeyer, who's with the Survival Center, and he's been at this for, what, about 33 years now, Richard?
Yeah, going on 33 years. We started in the early 70s, officially opened the store in 1975, although we had been at it several years before that. And, you know, we did a lot of neat things here. If people have a pencil and paper ready, I'm going to give out our phone number and stuff. You can't call us till tomorrow. All the phones are down except for the one little landline we have that's not powered by the computer system, which we're using tonight. And it's interesting. It gives us a chance to reflect, too, on our own preparedness and what we have ready and what we don't have. And, you know, it was supper time. You know, it's interesting, Dr. Stan. I don't know if this was, I don't know what to call this, but just about the time George Bush started to talk, our electricity went off. Can you imagine that? We laughed and howled till you wouldn't believe. Just, it was so funny because we weren't exactly looking forward to it, you know. But, you know, we have our wood heater here, and, you know, supper time. So, I mean, you know, we had a casserole ready and all that stuff. So we brought up from our store, we brought up to the office where we have our wood heater. We brought up our little Coleman collapsible oven. We popped it on the wood heater, threw a few more logs in the fire, and put our casserole in it and shut the door, put it in, turned it sideways so it sat in the back where all the heat was. And you know what, Dr. Stan, we took a little over an hour, and that thing was just hot and toasty and just wonderful. We had a nice warm meal by candlelight, and we're just having fun surviving the little bumps in life.
Well, of course, right now, of course, it's very pleasant because you know that probably tomorrow, the next day, the power will be back on again. But should it happen, and I hate to think it's the possibility, but should it happen that we would end up like Iraq is? You know, before we went into Iraq, they had electricity, they had water, they had jobs, they had a police force, they had hospital service, they had medical care, and now why there's very little clean water. There's intermittent electricity, 60% unemployment. The hospitals aren't functioning. The civil service isn't functioning. The whole structure of society has collapsed. Could that happen to America? Well, America, of course, didn't have to go into Iraq. The Iraqis had offered to surrender, because you've never heard that. Your president is not going to tell you that. They ignored Iraq's offer to surrender in February. But anybody would like to document that, well, just give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll give you the article by the man who took the offer to the Defense Department that totally ignored it because they wanted a war. And they got a war, and but men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose, and because the American people were unconcerned about the suffering we brought to Iraq. Could it be possible one day we'll have the same sort of suffering here? Again, if you'd like to get that article, just give us a call and ask for the Michael Maloff, M-A-H-L-O-O-F, article. We'd be glad to send it to you. The man who took Iraq's offer to surrender to the Defense Department and the CIA, and they could care less, because we wanted to go to war. So with that as a background, certainly I think people should be prepared for difficult times. I really believe something is close and imminent, and if we get into a war in the Middle East, there are countries over there that hate America. Pakistan has nuclear weapons. Saudi Arabia has nuclear weapons. Iran has a number of nuclear weapons they bought on the international market. Al-Qaeda has nuclear weapons that they bought, purchased from the Soviets, and some that were already buried here in the United States by the Soviets, and we'll be telling you more about that in some of our future programs. And I'm fully convinced that sooner or later there is going to be a nuclear attack on America, perhaps even a biological or chemical attack, but there is no way that we can bring the suffering throughout the rest of the world and be immune to reprisals here at home. So with that as a background, why don't you pick up the story there, Richard?
And you're right, and that's kind of what we're doing. We're trying to help people prepare for whatever emergency they may think come their way. And what can we do? Well, you know, it's about our future, and it's about your future and my future, and action on our part is required now for all of us to be ready for most any emergency that may come our way. And I ask people to think logically. How you plan and prepare is critical to your future and your well-being. And one of the things you can do in getting ready is develop a preparedness mindset and think about being without normal services for extended periods of time and prepare for it. I mean, you did such a good job of talking about what happened over in Iraq, Dr. Stan, that, you know, if people here would just prepare to be without their services and not without the local grocery store having food or being able to go anywhere for a while, I think it would be very appropriate. And we talk about storing food and water, and we're not talking about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm thinking 1 to 2 years or more. Even if we don't have war on our own shores here, how about the bird flu or some of these things that, you know, Jerry talks about? I've had conversations with her, too. You know, this is a scientist who studies this a lot, and I see it on the Internet. A lot of rumors on the Internet now about a lot of things. And I encourage people to go to our website at survivalcenter.com. And sign up for our free email newsletter. We send out a lot of good information on it. In fact, we just sent one out. Did you notice last Friday, Dr. Stan, there was a 7.7 earthquake down off of the northwest coast of Australia?
Yes, I did. And that was, I think a lot of people were worried about another tsunami, but apparently it wasn't.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it didn't have one. But that's a pretty good-sized earthquake. You know, they even had a minor earthquake over in Salt Lake City. And, of course, you know, Central California and the California coast and down to Baja, they're kind of shake, rattle, and roll most all the time anyway, so you guys are used to it down there, I guess.
No, we sure are. But, of course, I'm waiting for another one like that one. I think it was 1989, that one, the very day of the World Series.
Oh, boy. You don't want to experience those. That's pretty good size. It shakes up a lot of stuff. What's interesting, we've been kind of following this and doing a lot of research, and we've been watching the sun's activity. You know, the activity on the sun does affect the Earth's weather. It affects earthquakes here and all that. And just not too long ago, in fact, just before this big earthquake, this 7.7 down there, we learned that there was a huge gamma ray burst up to as long as 700 seconds, which is the longest burst on record to date. And we found out that it was interesting that within a few hours after that, there was a 7.7 earthquake, plus a lot of smaller ones. And so we talked about this in our last news alert, and if you go to our website, it's free, you can sign up for it. With your own password, you can go to the archives and check out the article on it. a lot of good information for us to be aware of here. We're talking about a lot of things besides just, you know, terrorists and potential war, more war in the Middle East. And it brings us back to, you know, stocking up with food and water, making sure we have enough for our family and our loved ones, and have a good water filter. We want to be able to have a way of filtering water in the event, like for us, right now the power's off, but, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, we got water everywhere. There's a big river close by we can go to. So if we have a water filter, we've always got good water to drink. And you want to also store water. We suggest at least 1 gallon per person per day, and that's just for your drinking and a little bit of cooking that you might do. So keep that in mind. Food and water are the first two basics of the four basics of survival. And then one of the other things you want to be aware of, too, is to stock up on medical supplies. Any special prescriptions you may need, perhaps get several months ahead if you're dependent on those. Make sure you have vitamins, minerals, and herbs, any of the supplements that you normally take. And look around and see what you might need in a very stressful situation to help you health-wise, because you want to maintain your health and keep your energy up so that you're able to function. Maybe you have to move a tree, you know, it's falling down over your driveway or something like that. Or if you have an earthquake, maybe something's damaged, you have to move some things from one part of the house to the other. So you kind of want to be ready physically and also mentally. If you mentally are prepared, just like we are here at the Survival Center, I mean, when the power goes out, it's almost a cheer because it gets nice and quiet. And we had a storm come through, and it rained and it blew, and then it cleared up. And Dr. Stan, I walked outside a little bit ago just before the show started. The sky is so clear tonight up here, I can see part of the Milky Way. It's so beautiful.
Well, of course, Washington is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
It really is. And so we're encouraging people to be prepared. And, you know, if you're prepared, that prevents panic. That's the three P's of preparedness. Preparedness prevents panic. And shelter, it's a good idea to have some kind of backup shelter. For instance, we have a lot of big trees around here. If one of them would fall on our office or our dwelling or something like that, we have backups. We have, of course, under our underground shelters, but even before we might go there, we might dig out our camper or something like that, or a good quality tent, something that, you know, whatever you can afford to have as a backup in case your primary residence is not usable for whatever reason. It's always good to have backups, and that's the one thing we had here. When the power goes out, we had like about a dozen of our 6.5-day candles. We had these really neat candles that will burn for 6.5 days straight. We just light those up. They can stay on all night if we need them. If we need to run around to the warehouse or wherever, we take some candles along. We also have our solar-powered flashlights and our little squeeze lights that are LED. So we have a lot of alternative lighting sources, and especially if we're talking to families with little ones, if you got some extra flashlights that can be recharged very easily, it's really comforting to the little ones to have that flashlight in their hand. It gives them a little sense of security and power that they can turn that light on and off when they need it. So there's a lot of useful things that we can do. And we have to start thinking and getting in a preparedness mindset.
And the thing is, of course, you have a radios. I think you need a radio so you have an idea of what's going on in the rest of the world. And do you have those sort of crank-up radios?
Yes, they do. In fact, I got two of them sitting here on the little table I'm working at tonight. We have one that's called the Sunburst, and you can see pictures of these on our Internet site at survivalcenter.com. It's a very inexpensive. It has a solar panel on the top and the handle. It has a hand crank in the back. It has a place for an adapter when your power's on, and then it has a place in the bottom that you actually can put in some AA batteries. It's an AM-FM flashlight radio. And it works fine. You know, a lot of times, I know we have some of the shortwave radios. We sell those off also. But sometimes you're going to want to just pick up the local stations and see what's going on locally. And it does fine. We're about 75 miles away from Seattle, and we pick up Seattle very well with this little radio inside the buildings.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our special guest this evening is Richard Mankemeyer. And if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And that article we mentioned about how the Iraqis had offered to surrender before we attacked. It's written by Michael Maloof, M-A-L-O-O-F, M-A-L-O-O-F. If you'd like a copy of it, why, give us a call. Or, of course, it's included in our January newsletter. All the references, the important things you need to know. Unfortunately, we're involved in a war. We didn't need to be, but then there are those who wanted a war because they want to change the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Richard Mankemeyer. And, of course, if you're out there, give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Richard, you know, the thing that really disturbs me somewhat is that I don't think most people really believe that anything serious could happen. And I don't think they're making preparations financially, from a material point of view, or really spiritually for the difficult times, which I believe are lying not too far in the future. I don't know when they're going to happen, but I have an uneasy feeling, and I haven't had this feeling for a long period of time, but we're on the edge of something major. And the tragedy is that people are not prepared physically, psychologically, and materially and spiritually, and something happens, they really begin to fall apart emotionally.
Well, exactly it. And, you know, you always do, when you're in a dire situation where you know you're up against the wall and you're panicking, you always do the wrong thing at the wrong time. And that's a given. We know that. That's why we keep talking about preparing ahead of time. We must prepare ahead of time to be able to have the confidence to know, okay, this happened. Now, this is what I do to handle it because I've already planned it. If you wait till the last minute, I mean, I'm seeing the panic now from people calling and wanting to know, well, can I have it by this weekend? I said, where were you 2 weeks ago? Well, they could have shipped it, and it wouldn't have cost you a lot of money to get it. You know, we're in the middle of a lot of earth changes, a lot of climate changes, and, you know, the volcano up in Alaska is still going off and shooting ash up 50,000 feet into the air. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on not only politically but geologically, and we need to prepare for whatever emergency may come our way. And, you know, we don't want to see anything bad happen to anyone, but, you know, this is just the reality of the situation that we're in at this point in time. If we start now and prepare, it's going to make it a lot easier. And we highly recommend that people get and keep with them at all times at least a 72-hour emergency kit. And we have them available on our website at survivalcenter.com. We also suggest they get our book called Basic Preparedness. This book, folks, is so easy to read and so simple. We get so many comments on this book. It's just right to the point. It doesn't beat around the bush. It tells you this is what you need. This is how much you should have. This is what you need for the different age groups in your family. And it just almost takes you by the hand and leads you through the things you need to do. In fact, the first four chapters of the book are the first four basics of survival, which are food, water, medical, and shelter.
Hey, well, we've got Clinton calling in from Milwaukee, and we'll get back to that in just a minute. But as long as we have Clinton waiting so patiently. Hi, Clinton. Did you have a calling from Milwaukee? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. Hello. How are you tonight?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm anxious to get back to you on this issue because last time I called in, I mentioned the book of formularies, and it talked about the mustache wax, and it seemed like you were making fun or you really didn't understand what I said. But so I wanted to repeat it again and ask Richard what he knows about any usage in the context I'm about to discuss. There's a man named Henley who wrote 20th Century Book of Formulas, Processes, and Trade Secrets. It's a valuable reference book for the home, factory, office, laboratory, and the workshop, containing 10,000 selected household, workshop, and scientific formulas, trade secrets, chemical recipes, processes, and money-saving ideas for both the amateur and professional worker. Now, this Mr. Henley first copyrighted his works in 1907. You could find them in the urban libraries. And the question is in the context of one of those 10,000 selected items and formulas is, for example, a recipe on how to cure and store meat. Like when the electricity goes out, for example, if you want to prepare for a year, as Richard wisely discusses, your meat has to be kept and your other foodstuffs have to be kept edible. So I wanted to bring that to your attention again tonight and ask Richard if he's ever worked with any of these formulas.
All right, fine. Do you know anything at all about that, Richard?
Well, yes, in fact, in basic preparedness, we have some simple formulas in there, how to make your own soap, how to do a lot of canning. You know, if you want to keep meat, one of the easiest way to do it is home canning, right, where you would put it in a pressure cooker, and you could do that right on your wood stove, and you could pressure can them. Drying them or making jerky out of them is another one. And also, the freeze-dried foods that we carry have meat that will essentially last for 30 years. It's freeze-dried. And the manufacturers know that for sure. They've been in business over 40 years, and they know they keep testing their product way back when. In fact, I have some of it. It's over 20 years old. So there's many ways to keep meat and to store it, especially if you're in the situation where you're going to have fresh meat. Maybe you get a deer or something like that, or a rabbit. There's many things you can do. And those books you're talking about are excellent. It reminds me of the Atlan Formula series, the Survivor series, put out by Kurt Saxton, which are now on CD. And we also have another book called The Survival Chemist, which is excellent for making a lot of different home formulas and things like that. So it's a very good suggestion.
Okay, anything else, Clinton?
Well, no, I thank you very much. And, I only want to close and maybe another fast question about if he knows of any preferred providers and suppliers of the ingredients, because that's one of the keys to these formulas.
Well, of course, it would depend on what the formula was and what the ingredient was. What ingredients are you talking about?
Basically, I'd ask Richard if he has a glossary to any of the suppliers, for example, where to get the creams and the emollients and other ingredients for these recipes.
I'd have to know what the recipes really
were. Yeah, you probably have to go online to look for those now because a lot of suppliers come and go. But one thing, and that's an interesting point you brought up, I just discovered the other day that, you know, out here in our area, I don't know how it is in your area, but they make a lot of this methamphetamine.
Yeah.
And they go in, they buy all this cough syrup and drugs and stuff over the counter, and then they get enough of them, they can make up their brew. I don't know exactly how they do it, but now in our state, you have to show ID and sign for any of those things that you purchase. And I just discovered the other day in the grocery store that they no longer carry lye because that's used in some of these formulas. And so you're going to have trouble even making your own homemade soap. So you better get down to the local discount store and buy a couple boxes of it and keep it somewhere.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much for calling, Clinton. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, Richard, we live in a utopian society. We're the wealthiest country in the world. I mean, ever since I can remember, America's been the leader in everything. And we really have a wonderful, comfortable way of life. And I've lived in other countries where, you know, they have electricity, but it's not quite as stable as ours. And they have grocery stores, but they're not as well stocked as ours. But the thing is that all of these things could change, that they could change dramatically. And people say, well, why would that change? And I would simply say, if God is just, his justice will not sleep forever. And I believe that America has turned against God, and I think any nation that ever has turned against God, sooner or later, God turns against that nation. And whether you agree with this philosophy politically, maybe you don't believe in God. Well, I do, but certainly you can see the things that are happening. We're living in a very uncertain world. And there really are people out all across the world who hate America. And if a vote were held in Pakistan tomorrow, the radical Islamists would take over. If a free vote were held in Turkey, the radical Islamists would take it over. In fact, they always win the election. They win the whole parliament, but they have a military dictatorship that we support that keeps the country from going radical Islamic. The same thing would happen in Egypt. They had their democratic elections, and they fixed the elections. And even with a fixed election, the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, is the same movement that Osama bin Laden comes from, and they have worked together closely with the Wahhabis. Why, the Muslim Brotherhood got 30% of the vote. And, of course, we know that in Palestine, why Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, took the election. The world is turning to radical Islam. Not that everybody wants to be a terrorist, but it's built upon a hatred of America. And you can't live in a world like that. And you can't force people to like you. And you certainly are not going to spread brotherly love by going out and killing people. You're going to try to bring them around to our point of view. And certainly you have to stand and you have to oppose people when they're going to do damage to your country. But when you damage to their country, can you be surprised if they want to retaliate? We'll be back in just a moment here with Richard Mankemeyer. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Richard Mankemeyer. And, of course, if you're out there and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Richard, have you noticed any increase in interest in preparing? I mean, I would think that with the way things are going in the world today, that everybody would be beginning to make preparations for the possibility of difficult times.
There's a teeny bit. You and I, I know when we've talked, I'm shaking my head in disbelief at the level of uncaring, I don't know what better word to put, it's just not going to happen to me type attitude that Americans have. And like you said earlier, they just think it won't happen to them. But what about them people down in New Orleans and Cortina? What happened down there? I mean, did they ever think anything like that was going to happen to them? And, there are a few people preparing, but I'd say very few. We kind of have our pulse on it. We are helping a lot of people to get ready, but there's not that many. This whole preparedness industry, if you want to call it that, is very small. And if a small percentage of 1% of this population figured they needed to get ready, we wouldn't be able to handle it anyway. So I'm encouraging people to take advantage of what I would call the law before the storm. Because just like what happened back in Y2K, you can't keep up with it. We got really, really busy then. And I think this time it's even going to be worse than that. And it got to the point where we just couldn't handle it. People call in and want to place an order, and they wanted it this week. I said, well, I'm sorry. You may get it in 2 months if you're lucky. And so there are many things we can do. We're talking about individual preparedness, family preparedness. You need to get yourself and your family prepared for whatever emergency that may come your way. Write down this phone number, folks. There's our toll-free number at 1-800-321-2900. That's 1-800-321-2900. If you're hearing us live tonight, Tuesday night, our power's off. Call us tomorrow or the next day. You can always get to us through the Internet. You can email us. Our website is survivalcenter.com. Consider the book Basic Preparedness. It's not a very expensive book. I mean, you can get this book. It will do a lot to help you get prepared. So there are things we can do. I talk to a lot of people who are, who do really understand what's going on. They see what's happening, and they're very concerned, and they want to know what they can do. And I say, preparedness. Remember to be prepared for whatever emergency may come your way. And, I can't tell you really to what I'm preparing for, because my scenario maybe a little bit different than yours, but the main thing is to prepare for the worst possible scenario you can think of. And then if it doesn't happen, you're in fine shape. And Dr. Stan, we talk a lot about...
Hold that thought right there. Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Richard Mankemeyer from the Survival Center. And, of course, Richard does help Radio Liberty. If you're interested in getting in touch with him, his telephone number is 1-800-321-2900. That's 1-800-321-2900. And, of course, his website is the Survival Center, isn't it?
Well, the website is just survivalcenter.com.
Survivalcenter.com, okay. And you actually have a list there of things that people should be thinking about?
We have one of the most awesome websites you're ever going to run across. Allow yourself plenty of time to look at it. Make sure you bookmark it and come back, because we're always adding to it. We're working on our new catalog now, which we'll probably have online within a couple of months, and also a printed version. And, a lot of people that we talk to are very much into, investments and things like this, and they ask about should they invest in gold and silver. I say, gold and silver is an excellent investment. But I tell them, just keep this in mind. When push comes to shove, you can't eat gold or silver. And so, after you've done your core investments of your gold and silver or platinum, whatever you get into, invest in tangible items that you may need. Buy something that you can use on a practical basis. In addition to food and water, like we keep around battery-powered drills, and we have like a DeWalt set where you have the little reciprocating saw and the flashlight and all that in for emergencies. Say you got a board up for a storm or something like that. We keep everything around, a lot of it battery-operated. Practical items. We buy practical things that we think we might use, in the event you can't go to the store for several months. So think of it practically, think about your future and how you need to prepare for it, and think about it logically. You need to logically think about this. If you're listening to Dr. Stan, he's been giving you a lot of good information, and take advantage of his information and what his wisdom has, and his research is for over the years. Get yourself ready, because I know, Dr. Stan, I'm feeling the same thing you're feeling. Everyone I talk to that's somewhat aware of what's going on has this very uneasy feeling that something's going to be happening fairly soon. I mean, we're talking maybe days, weeks, or months. So we're just kind of fine-tuning all of our preparedness programs right now here at the Survival Center.
All right. Well, I think it's a good idea for people to give very, very serious consideration. And what you need is a list of all the things that you would need for various emergencies. Medical supplies are so important. And not only you need large doses of vitamin C. If we were to have any sort of a chemical attack or a biological attack, your immunity system is so important. And the vitamin C and the vitamin D and the selenium and the garlic products and the oil of oregano, these are the things that, more or less, natural antibiotics, things that you can use to build up your immune system so you can fight the disease. And if you don't think about it now, you're not going to have them. And certainly you would want to have pain medicines, you'd want to have bandages, you'd want to have, suture sets, so you could do the things if you couldn't get to a doctor. Because you do not know what's going to happen. And I don't know either, but I do know that there's no history in all, no incident in all history where a nation has turned against God, where there's not going to have been terrible, terrible things happening. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question for Richard, he's right on the front lines of this. He's the only person I know who has underground shelters, and actually, because these were a throwback to the time when our government wanted to protect the American people. And following the Second World War and the very real danger of a thermonuclear exchange, why, there was a lot of talk about being prepared for a nuclear attack. And then came along the idea of mutual assured destruction. Well, we won't make any preparations, and the other side won't make any preparations, and so both of our populations will be held hostage. And if we were to nuke the Russians, they would nuke us, and everybody would be killed. It was mutual assured destruction. Well, it was a great idea. The only trouble was it was totally immoral. The Russians didn't believe in mutual assured destruction. They went ahead and built up massive system of civil defense for their people and massive supplies of food to protect their people, and we made absolutely no preparations. Today, we're doing exactly the same thing. There are medications that can be taken, actually, to help you if there is a nuclear attack, to keep you from radiation sickness. And those of you who like, there's a fascinating article on the CBS website on the 60-minute program this last Sunday, where they pointed out that the medication is available and the government refuses to purchase it, buying 100,000 doses of this. Well, if you had a nuclear attack in one of our major cities, there probably would be 8 to 10 million people that would need the medicine, but it's not going to be produced because the government won't buy it. And as a result, when they ask, well, what are you going to do if there's an attack? And they say, well, we'd have to take things one step at a time. And, after we've had the attack, then we'll buy some more.
Yeah,
but then
like
it's too late and all the people are dead. And you can, if you read the interview, it was the most unbelievable interview I've ever heard, because you suddenly realize that the people in Washington, D.C. are not stupid. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're intentionally planning on not protecting the American people.
It's just like Katrina. They'll play it one step at a time. They didn't even bother to call the MRE manufacturer until the Wednesday after the hurricane hit.
And, of course, the FEMA was there. They were keeping supplies out.
Okay.
And when the people tried to get out, they were met with armed guards, so they couldn't get out of the city. What sort of madness was that? People wanted to come in with boats and help, and they weren't allowed to come in. People wanted to come in with supplies. They weren't allowed to come in. And they did everything they could to make it worse. And, with FEMA there, FEMA is not there to help you. It's to manage you and control you. And I think one of the most frightening things is the thought that you would have the federal government coming in to look after you. Far better to have your local police. Had the local police been functioning and not so corrupt, had the, local agencies been allowed to come in, why, things would have gotten done in Mississippi. It was the Baptist certainly groups that went down there that were feeding the people and supplying the water. And, of course, the military got there many days later. If it had been dependent on the military and FEMA, why an awful lot of more people would have died. Well, let's go to Bart calling from the Carmel, and he's got a question and a comment. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Bart.
Good evening. Thank you. Before I get to my comment, I'd like to add to what you just said about mutually assured destruction policy. You'll recall that President Clinton signed Presidential Directive number 60, which stated that we will absorb a nuclear strike and then think about what to do afterwards. So,
well, of course, we probably won't have any weapons to respond with, but that's all right. We certainly wouldn't want to make our enemies angry with us, would we?
It's also insane, but if you look at it in the sense that if this is the deliberate destruction of America, it's so blatant now that it's unavoidable for anyone with eyes to see the insanity of the government spending far beyond bankruptcy, a debt that is not repayable. Of some of the brightest economic minds around are stating flat out now that an economic collapse is inevitable. And if we're lucky, that's all that will happen. But it appears as that the world stage is just set to just burst into flame everywhere. And it's just my thing I would like to add to tonight's wonderful discussion. Thank you for this important topic. Is one item that is inexpensive that people will find very handy, I believe, are the inexpensive Motorola two-way radios that cost about $50, and they work very well. I have a pair, and I've tried them out under different circumstances.
Yes, I have a pair, too. They're excellent. Good suggestion.
Aren't they handy? If
they're super. They go a couple of miles. Some of the, you pay a few more bucks, you can get one to go up to 8 miles now.
Yeah, mine go about 5 miles, mm-hmm. And if the folks in New Orleans had had some of those amongst the community, it would certainly have helped them a lot. And my other suggestion would be for the people that live in the suburban areas, there are always birds around. All birds are edible, and for a couple $100, you can get a very high-quality, high-speed pellet gun. They're very high-velocity, 1,000-foot-per-second pellet gun, which I have one. They're very accurate. They're quiet. You can provide a protein source for yourself just by the birds that are around with one of these pellet rifles, and they're very good. Get a good one, and that will, in a pinch, that can provide a protein source for you if you live in the suburbs.
That's a very good suggestion. In fact, we suggest that in the book Basic Preparedness. We talk about self-protection and also a little small game procurement, and that is a very good idea because one of the advantages of them, they're silent.
Yes, they're not completely silent. They make a bit of a pop, but you can have just a large quantity of ammunition for a very inexpensive price. And the good ones are astoundingly accurate, actually. They're unbelievably accurate. And they're also a lot of fun to shoot.
All right, fine. Well, of course, if we get into a tough position, I hope you bring up a couple of birds for me, Bart.
Thank you, gentlemen.
God bless. Thanks for answering calling. Okay, that was Bart calling from Carmel. And lots of people have lots of thoughts out here. Just start thinking now, how would you survive if suddenly the wonderful utopia we live in, suddenly, at least for a matter of a few weeks or a few months, was not functioning? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or you have a comment for our guest, and that's Richard Mankemeyer of the Survival Center. And we've certainly been talking about the food that you should have on hand. And so certainly there are all sorts of various types of food. You've got the what do they call them?
MREs.
MREs.
And then, uses.
But, of course, they're rather expensive, aren't there? A lot of things that are far less expensive, where you can get a fair, much larger volume of food, maybe not quite as tasty, but equally nutritious.
Yes. In fact, in our catalog and on our Internet site or in our food storage page, you'll see some of the units that we've designed for a year's supply, 2 years' supply, and things like that. And what we basically build those out of is the grains, beans, and seeds and legumes that we nitrogen pack in the big poly buckets because, for instance, a poly bucket of wheat, you know, is less than $20, and you can make up to 60 loaves of bread off of one bucket of wheat. So, you know, you can get a lot of food out of a bucket of wheat. And, of course, we have the air-dried and the freeze-dried foods in the number 10 cans. We do have quite a variety, so depending on your budget, you know, if you think you can't afford to buy a whole year's supply at once, you know, actually you can, and it doesn't cost that much. And if you can't buy it all at once, you can buy it in pieces. The main thing is to get started and to have some food and water stored where you are now and potentially as a backup retreat somewhere. And going back earlier, when you talked about underground shelters, Dr. Stan, you know, the government and the military has some massive underground shelters. In fact, I have two books written by the same author. He talked about the first book he came out with. It was called Underground Bases and Tunnels, What the Government's Trying to Hide. And then he just came out with another one called Underwater and Underground Bases. So the military and the government has underground shelters everywhere, massive ones. But, you know, they didn't put your name or my name on, so when I found out about it a number of years ago, I decided, well, heck, I'll just make my own. So we became one of the few manufacturers in the United States that actually build a complete underground shelter. We can put almost any size group, depending on where you want to go, how long you want to be there, and we can do almost anything underground. We have beautiful color pictures on our website at survivalcenter.com. And we also have our new above-ground shelters, which are properly anchored, will withstand winds up to 200 miles an hour, and we also have an inside retrofit shelter, which you can put into your house, your apartment, or wherever you live. So there's no excuse not to have some kind of shelter to protect you in the event of whatever may come your way, especially if it gets really high winds or strange weather going on or earthquakes. You do have some protection that's available to you, and the inside shelter and the above-ground shelter are not that expensive.
What about some sort of an air filter? And certainly, what about an air filter? There certainly is, you know, the electricity goes out.
Yeah.
If anything, with the danger of a biological or chemical attack, well, you'd certainly want a means of filtering the air inside the house.
Yeah, we don't have any for the house yet. We basically had built them for our underground shelters, and they run off of both 110 volt and 12 volt. So they're multiple voltage, and we always put batteries, 12 volt car-type batteries, they're actually deep-cycle batteries, in our shelters and stuff to help run these fans in the event you don't have any outside power to run them. So, yes, all those options are available. We've even gone so far, as you talked earlier, about the olive leaf tinctures and extracts. We have a whole selection of those available that are made right here in the Pacific Northwest that we've been using for a number of years, and they're awesome. We get excellent results with them, and you can find those on our medical page at survivalcenter.com. And, you know, it's quite a resource to get into our webpage and look at all the different links within our page. We just had reorganized our homepage, and there are 30 different links right within our own website of different areas that you can research. We do have an NBC page, that's nuclear, biological, and chemical, where we do have the gas masks, the nuclear suits. And by the way, Dr. Stan, we are right now in stock with potassium iodate. We have it in stock and on hand.
Okay, have you heard at all that there seems to be, at least from the manufacturer, a shortage, or is that simply
Well, it kind of comes and goes. Yeah, the last time we stocked up, we got the last case they had at that time, too, because at that point, I think the CIA had come in and bought them out, and I haven't talked to them in the last week or two, but that does happen because, you know, there's not that many people making this stuff. That's what I'm trying to indicate to people. That if you're hearing this message and you think it's a good thing to do this, I would suggest you do it immediately because, you know, if your neighbor and the guy down the street figures out it's a good idea, by that time there may not be that much left. And I'm not trying to use that as a scare tactic. I'm telling you from a practical standpoint, knowing what's in the pipeline, knowing what's in this industry, it is so small that there's just not that much stuff available. So those that are sharp, they hear it, the message now, do whatever you can now because once a small percentage of people figure out they need to do this, there won't be enough available.
And certainly that's what happened, of course, when the various hurricanes hit about a year ago, and there was a hurricane in Florida, and suddenly all of these things, there just weren't any generators. Everybody waited until the last minute, and suddenly nothing was available. Now, after the hurricane had passed, then, of course, you get the supplies in. But then, of course, you don't need them, and you want to wait until the next time. And I would like to suggest that people start making preparations, thinking ahead, and realizing that we are responsible for ourselves. And if we think the government is going to look after us, I think that why we're in for a big surprise. Well, right now we've got Mike calling, and Mike is calling from Idaho. Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I would like to know about water. And say you have some water stored. for some reason you're moved away from your storage facility, your home, or whatever, for whatever reason, what do you do for water? Because next to air, that's the next thing you need.
What do you do for water there, Richard?
Okay, well, you mean if you're away from home base?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you should always, what I do in my backpack and in my 72-hour kit that I have with me at all times, I have water in there in form of a canteen, and water's in packets that has a 5-year shelf life. But I keep my canteen refreshed about every 2 months, and I also carry a mini Katadyn pocket filter so I can filter almost any water anywhere.
Now tell us about the Betadyn, the Katadyn.
The Katadyn is a little ceramic filter. We have different sizes. It's real popular as a drip filter, something like the Berkey. And what it is, it has a pump. It's made for backpacking and camping, so it's real teeny. You have to pump the water through it because the pores of the ceramic are smaller than the smallest known harmful bacteria. But you can put it in most any stream or pond, and you can pump water and get bacteria-free water.
Hold that thought there just a moment there, Mike. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Richard Mankemeyer. This is the last little part of it that Mike was asking about, water. Of course, there are the Berkey filters, the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light. And then, of course, there are these pumps that that Richard's talking about. And then, of course, you can get the sport bottles, things like that, that Berkey does have a sport bottle that has a filter on it. There are all sorts of things that do depend upon, you know, if you were, say, in a camper or something, why you could take it to have the Big Berkey or Berkey Light filter. Did you have anything else, Mike?
Well, I was just wondering, you know, if you take the Katadyn and, you know, you're out traipsing around, and are you able to, does it remove Giardia? Do you have to boil things?
Yes, it does. The pores of the ceramic, the Katadyn and the Big Berkey use the same technology. It's the ceramic. The pores of the ceramic are smaller than the smallest known harmful bacteria, and the reason why you have to pump the little hand ones is because, you know, they're small. You don't have a chance to let it filter down through. You force the water through, and it leaves all the bacteria behind. A lot of campers, hunters, backpackers carry them with them instead of carrying extreme amounts of water because the water, of course, is heavy, and it makes it easier on their excursion that way.
And so,
what about if there were any nuclear, you know, what is it, gamma particles or beta particles?
Well, the gammas are fast and short-lived. What you're talking about is any, if you have any fallout. Fallout basically attaches to dust, and that would be coming down. It would filter out the dust, yes.
And so basically, the gammas are not going to go through, and the alpha, they're going to be attached to dust, and this filters out the dust. So, but then, of course, you'd have to wash them off from time to time. But, of course, it gets you through the initial stage. And the same thing would be true for the Big Berkey, the Berkey Light. That's why you'd want to have an extra set of filters on hand.
Yes, and you can find all those on our website. We sell all the brands. We picked out the best. The Berkey and the Katadyn are the two top brands in the world today. They're used, by the way, by a lot of missionaries that go to third world countries. So we know they have a very good track record, and we use them here at the Survival Center. So, and a lot of people do. You'll hear a lot of people talking about it on different, you know, shortwave radio programs and stuff. So they're excellent, and they all work, and they're not that expensive. For what they'll do for you, they're a very good investment.
And it's the time to just start making the preparation now, Mike.
Yeah, so definitely. Water was the biggest concern.
It is a big concern, and I think that Richard's recommendations are excellent. Hey, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, Richard, we're out of time. Once again, let's get your telephone number out there.
Okay, call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900. That's 1-800-321-2900, and find us on the Internet at survivalcenter.com. And we'd be happy to talk to you or send us an email or sign up for our free news alert at survivalcenter.com. We appreciate all your comments and calls.
All right, good night. God bless you. Thanks so
much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, fine. That was Richard Mankemeyer. And, once again, the telephone number is 1-800-321-2900. That's 1-800-321-2900 or survivalcenter.com. And then, of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. Now, Richard has in the past helped us keep our programs out here, but, of course, when we're on some 60 outlets every week, well, it's a pretty expensive proposition. And if you really believe that we are involved in a spiritual battle, that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. And of course, you get the four best tapes of the month, or CDs, and you get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you're helping us do what we do, and that is trying to educate people about what's really going on, and not the news you're going to get out of the controlled medium, but the information you're not going to get from other sources. And that's why we read about six newspapers every single day, and because they can't censor everything, and once in a while, the truth gets through. And if it's there, we're going to find it, and if we don't find it, we have other people out across America that are feeding us information. We check it, we double-check it, we make sure it's accurate. And when we put it out, we feel it's as accurate as you're going to get. And so much of what we find is totally contrary to what the major media is trying to convince us is true. So remember that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Our job is to give you reality, not illusion. So and then, of course, we hope many of you, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you've not gotten our information on the spiritual hierarchy, it's three pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy. It goes into the secret societies that are in touch with the other dimension, because this is the common denominator behind all of the secret societies. They're all looking for contact with the other dimension and from the beings from the other dimension. And there really is another dimension. It's a spiritual dimension. You need to know it's there, but you certainly don't want to be in contact with it, because that, of course, is where this great battle between good and evil is being fought. And our job is, of course, to educate people about what's really going on and to hopefully draw them into a personal relationship with our Lord and preparing them for the difficult times that lie ahead. And I honestly believe I would not be doing what I'm doing if I did not believe this was a spiritual battle. And one thing we can accomplish is to bring you into a personal relationship with our Lord. So certainly we ask you, of course, to go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Pull down our newsletters. You can listen to our internet programs there. They're archived. You can listen to them live. You can listen to them on MP3. And then encourage others to listen to our programs and try to educate them. Copy our programs. You're welcome to copy and tape record our programs, to pass them around. You're welcome to pull down any of our newsletters and certainly circulate those as well. And you know, it's amazing how many people, when you first tell them what's going on, they think you're crazy. Before long, they're afraid you're not. Your job is to try to reach others. If they don't want to listen, you can't make them. But I feel that those who God intends to listen will hear and will believe. And so until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, till we're together again. May the Lord be with you.